Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading the Fight Night Extra. A reminder that I'll be joined every single Monday live on TalkSport 2 by Gareth A. Davis to dissect all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. 2021 is set to be a huge year for boxing, both in the UK and abroad, and we'll have you covered every single step of the way. If you can't join us live, make sure you subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel to ensure you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, you can also check out some of the other great boxing programming, the likes of Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and The Boy from Brownsville, The Mike Tyson Story.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, then this is absolutely the show for you, Fight Night Extra, where myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis will be looking forward to some of the big fights that could happen in 2021, looking back at some of the fights that have happened as well. Today, we're going to discuss Carl Frampton and that defeat and subsequent retirement in losing to Jermell Herring. The latest on Conor Benn, massive fight from this weekend. He takes on Samuel Vargas. Paddy Piblett is going to be in the house as well. Paddy the baddie. And we'll be looking at Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3, which has now been signed. This is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Let's go.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
You know, I said before that I would retire if I lost this fight, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And still, the WBA Continental Welterweight Champion, Conor the Destroyer Benn!
And I think lessons were learned in that Soren back fight, chasing that rear naked choke throughout the whole round.
This is tough.
Big squeeze, and it's over!
Beautiful
Paddy,
work.
The Paddy is back!
Dustin Poirier.
Big left from Poirier, now a right hand.
Oh, he's hurt.
He's got to go back to the count. Oh, big left and now a right.
Hurt, man.
Oh, my God.
All right, so much to unpack from what was a crazy weekend of boxing. What is going to be, I think, a crazy weekend of boxing coming up. We are going to discuss MMA as well. We're going to be joined by Paddy the Baddy Piblett, who's just signed that deal with the UFC. Time now, though, to welcome in Gareth A. Davis, as always. Gareth, firstly, how are you, my man?
I'm very well, thank you. Loved the Easter weekend, and now it's back to the freezing cold of and the showers that are going to come in a week's time. But I'm talking weather.
Yes.
The fight game is great. You know, I know that Carl Frampton put up a valiant battle on Saturday night, but he is no longer a professional fighter. And I know we're going to pick the bones out of that. But he had a long and decorated career. And I spent many, many weeks following him and kind of documenting his life and his career in fine detail. He was a great man and a great fighter.
Yeah, great man, great fighter indeed. We are going to unpack exactly what
some might say went wrong in that fight against Jamel Herring. But look, credit to Jamel Herring as well. Great person, great guy. It's almost, you know, when you get two great guys that are just, it's always sad when you see one lose. But I'm happy for Jamel Herring. I'm happy that he got the payday. I'm happy that he will get another payday, whether that be against Shakur Stevenson or anyone else in the 130-pound division, because it is a stacked division right now that he belongs in. What did you make of Carl Frampton's overall performance? I mean, look, we were speaking in the lead-up to the fight, and we both made him favourite in that fight, right? We said if it's a boxing match, he's going to win the boxing match, but he got outboxed in that fight as well, Gareth.
Well, he had to hustle, didn't he? He had a 7-inch reach disadvantage and a 5-inch height disadvantage going into the contest. And, you know, he had to be at his very best. He and Jamie Moore, we spoke to Jamie Moore last week, his trainer, of course, who said that Carl had an amazing camp. And we both said that Carl needed to be his absolute best against a very long, skillful southpaw who doesn't give a lot away and doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Look, great champions, and that he was, a two-weight world champion, along with Katie Taylor and Steve Collins, the only two other Irish people to hold world championships in two-weight divisions. They always feel they've got one more great fight left in them.
Yeah.
And that's what Carl was looking for on Saturday night. Mm. And the great champion, you know, and he found that out on Saturday night. Herring was majestic, sharp shooting with his left and right hands. And he found the openings, and Carl could not weave his way inside. The timing that Jamie Moore talked about last week that they'd seen in camp wasn't there on the night in the fight. Mm. And it was a sad moment for a guy who I've travelled with all his fans in 2014. The Titanic Quarter in Belfast, Daddy, was taken over by Catholics and Protestants alike.
Brought them together, yeah.
Across the sectarian divide, together in an outdoor purpose-built arena. I'll never forget that night. But then the nights in New York, the nights in Las Vegas, you know, he took a lot of fans with him. And it was sad to see him emotional and alone in many ways in this crowdless arena in Dubai, announcing the end of his career in very emotional, very emotive terms.
Yeah, look, again, we're going to unpack the fight a bit more. I'm happy you mentioned this crowdless arena in Dubai, because look, this is a chance for him to become a three-weight world champion. I mean, it was historical. Some people already say he's in the Hall of Fame, but I said, look, if he wins this, it's one foot in the Hall of Fame already. For Jamel Herring, this is a big fight as well, biggest win of Jamel Herring's career. And then you had this fight in Dubai, and I'm not against fighters going out there and getting paid. Get your money, right? I mean, it's a dangerous sport. If you can get paid, get paid. But it was a shame a fight of that magnitude wasn't in an arena in America, where some fans are back now, we know, Gareth. Not over here in the UK, but in America there are. It was a shame that there weren't 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Irish. It was a shame there wasn't American fans cheering Jamel Herring. In the end, it was this, which it almost felt like a shallow tent in Dubai for what was a massive fight for Carl Frampton.
Yeah, and the announcer tried to be 5,000 people on his own.
Oh, what was he about? I felt sorry for him.
I didn't feel sorry for him. I've never seen an announcer get so much flack for his performance. The buffer gets all the love, doesn't he? All the two buffers.
Yes.
Michael and Bruce. Mm. David Diamante gets loads
Jimmy
of
Lennon
love.
Jimmy Lennon Jr.
Jimmy Lemon Jr. Craig Stephen, own Craig Stephen from Scotland, gets lots of love. But I mean, I will keep the guy nameless.
Yeah, no, because do that, please. Yeah.
It was like at the age of 50, all his Christmases and all his Easters had come at once, and he could not believe his moment in the spotlight. You know, it made a lot of us blush, I think. But yeah, it was a weird scenario. I mean, you mentioned a few thousand people. Carl Frampton could carry many, many thousands of people. Yeah. Incredibly popular fighter, a pocket battleship as a man and as a physique. And, you know, I just feel that final stretch, he was never a big super bantamweight. Mm. He was never a big featherweight, really. He was just powerful. So stepping up to super feather at 130 pounds weight limit, you know, where some of these guys are 5'10", 5'11", like Jamel Herring, was always a massive ask. And you could tell from the opening round, Danny,
that 100%.
He couldn't get inside.
Yeah.
Jamel was tucked up. using his jab brilliantly, and well, the uppercut.
Oh no! Honestly, yeah, the way it collapsed him was again. It was hard to watch. Just as being a Carl Frampton fan, it was hard to watch. And look, I think they almost looked like they were separated by two weight divisions on the night. I mean, one looked like a welterweight in there, and Jamal Herring, and then Carl Frampton, because of that small stature, just looked like a guy, 126 pounds. I do want to quickly move on just because of time. A massive fight card this weekend. I think Conor Benn, who I think we hope. From a British standpoint, is that next superstar, right? He takes on another step up, I think it's fair to say, in Vargas, who we've seen over here before fighting the likes of Amir Khan, has been in there against the likes of Virgil Ortiz last time out, and Errol Spence. He's been in there with everyone, right? Danny Garcia, and he's got some losses on there, but the losses are only to very good boxers. This is a nice step up. I like this for Conor Benn. I think it's a very, very good matchup for him.
I think it is a good matchup, but it's a dangerous matchup,
oh, yeah,
in my
100%.
View. Yeah. I've just come off a Zoom call with Sammy Vargas, and you know,
You call him Sammy.
I call him Sammy Vargas.
Call him Sammy. Yeah. Okay, cool. I say Samuel.
I mean,
Samuel.
Yeah, you could say Samuel. You know, listen, you can call him Samuel to his face, to his back. I mean, I've been around him a few times. Listen, he's not a bad fighter. Mm. He's very aggressive. As you say, he's been in with very good opposition. This is a proper test for Conor Benn. If he's not on his mettle on Saturday night, where I fear for him is, if he's not wound Samuel Vargas down by the 7th or 8th or 9th round,
it's going to be a very tough
last three rounds. Because that's where the experience and all those vast things that he has in front of Conor Benn, and that's what Sammy was just talking about with a few of us, that's where he could have problems in this fight. But, you know, Conor's very confident, he's very physical, he's very aggressive. You know, even against Formella, Sebastian Formella in his last performance, and he battered the guy from pillar to post. I mean, he'd been in, of course, with Sean Porter over 12 rounds, so he showed something good, did Conor, but there were times in the fight where he looked fatigued.
Yeah.
So he's got to pace himself a little bit more and pick his shots a little bit more on Saturday night.
Agreed. If he doesn't dent and can't dent Samuel, or Sammy, I'm going to call him now because you put it in my head, Sammy Vargas, you're right. Sammy Vargas will be there for 12 rounds. We know that. He's done. He knows how to do 12 rounds. He will be there. He's got to dent him, and he's got to dent him very, very quickly. It's a good card, this one, to be fair. I mean, Savannah Marshall's on there defending her WBO middleweight strap that she beat when she beat Hannah Rankin for that fight. Well, this is her first defense of it against, I have to admit, a girl that I've not known too much about in Femke Hermans. What do you know about this opponent, Gareth?
Well, she's got 4 knockouts in her 11 wins. She's been, she has never been knocked out herself.
Okay.
So she's a stylist. She's from Belgium. She's 31 years old. She's boxed 90 rounds as a pro. I mean, you know, look, she has lost to Clarissa Shields in the past.
No shame in that, is there anymore?
No shame in that, in a bid for the WBA, and IBF and WBC, middleweight titles. That was December 2018, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's been in, you know, she lost by unanimous decision in that fight. So she did the rounds with Clarissa Shields. So she's no mug. Mm. You know, it's a decent opponent. You know, that I think, you know, we've spoken to Savannah on the show, and as she's told us before, women's boxing doesn't have the deeper strength in depth at the moment. So the girls have to fight who's there. But, you know, you never know what can go wrong for any of these guys. And she's 31, as I say. She's a woman, you know. She's ranked 5 in the world at super middleweight. So we'll see how she goes. I expect Savannah to win on points or by late stoppage, because I think she's going to sit on her punches a little bit more in this contest. But it's the same old thing. Can women finish fights when there's 2-minute rounds? It's very difficult for them.
Yeah, I find it, it's ridiculous. And that they need to change that, by the way. I do think it needs to be 3-minute rounds just to give them an opportunity to do that work in the last minute of each round. A couple of final points, and we're gonna have this man on a bit later. Paddy, the baddie Pimblett, has finally signed to the UFC. Look, it looks like he might go into that shark-infested water that is the 155-pound division, which, I mean, I think it's the strongest division in the UFC, personally. But it's I like the fact that we are getting another fighter in the division from England, from Liverpool as well. Got the Liverpudlian accent. We're going to hear it in a minute. It's going to be very, very strong.
Harry Pimblett.
It's even a bit stronger than that, isn't it? It's a bit crazy. But good addition. It is. They've been wanting him to come over to the UFC for a while. He stalled it. He thinks the timing's right now.
Absolutely, and it's great to have him in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He thoroughly deserves it. Mm. But you know what? I've got to say, I'm looking forward to speaking to him later because he's an absolute character.
Yeah,
but we can't finish the first section without mentioning Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz on May the 15th. Come on, Addy.
No, you're right.
I am stoked.
You know what? I'm slipping a bit. I apologise, Gareth. You are correct. That's crazy. That is, like, Leon Edwards has been waiting for the opportunity of all opportunities. And apart from fighting for the title, it doesn't get bigger than Nate Diaz. It simply doesn't get bigger. I mean, Kobe, this is bigger. Maybe not as big as Jorge rematch. I mean, that just because of the toucan, chicken and a soda, whatever the line was. But this is huge, isn't it? Nate Diaz is massive.
It's massive because Nate Diaz, the Diaz brothers, have a massive following around the world of MMA, and it's a great opportunity for Leon Edwards to play the good guy against the guy that's going to give him the shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's perfect for him. And you know what? It's a really good style matchup for Leon Edwards.
100%, right? Because this is going to be stand-up. We know that Nate has fantastic BJJ, but this is going to be stand-up. And in a stand-up, I've got to favour Leon. I've got to.
Well, you can. You're entitled to.
Thank you very much.
I do see Leon as the favourite, but do you know what? Nate Diaz, like Nick Diaz, his elder brother before him, they have something special about them.
They do.
They have the come on then, bring it, brother. Do you know what I mean?
And I love that. Honestly, there's gonna be a point. We've got to quickly go to break here. There's gonna be a point where Leon is cracking him and Nate's gonna say what? I can't say what Nate's really gonna say because we're only at 4 o'clock here, but he's going to throw up the fingers like, you know what he does, and I can't wait to see how Leon reacts to that.
Hey, listen, homie, go to break.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to break right now. You're listening to Fighter Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Remember, if you've missed any of the show or would like to listen again, they can check out our podcast at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
He's a lovely blade, backing him up. It's a big shot, and it's over. It is over. Jamel Herring has done it. A sensational victory in Dubai for the American.
You know, I said before that I would retire if I lost this fight, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I wanted to dedicate the fight to Billy McKay and my whole career to my wife and my kids who, you know, they've made so much sacrifices. I've been away so long. I've missed them growing up, my own kids. And I just want to dedicate my life to my family now.
It is Fight Night Extra with myself, Addy Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. Touching words there from Carl Frampton. Look, it was always going to be a tough fight against Jamel Herring. I think if you watched the fight on Saturday night live from Dubai, you could see the size difference of the two men when they both got in the ring. And look, the old adage is, Gareth, that, you know, a great small man will lose. Sorry, a great big man will always beat a great small man. I mean, in the end, we saw two very good boxers. And look, size does count for something in boxing. Not everyone is a Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather or a Loma that can go through the weight classes like that. Sometimes size will catch up with you.
Yeah, size does outmatch skill sometimes. We often think that skill does the business, but it didn't on Saturday night for Carl Frampton. He couldn't use his footwork to get in. He tried weaving and bobbing and trying to get in and, you know, tried his best in the clinches to get punches off. But Jamel Herring's long arms, his long levers just did for Carl. And, you know, it was a very difficult fight to watch because Carl in his pomp, this is what I've got to give to Carl, a massive tribute, because when you go back to 2016 and he was the Ring Magazine
Fighter of the Year. I mean, and it's incredible when you think of the fighters that were around in 2016 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is this, in my time, you know, I write a column for the Ring Magazine, Naz Hamid, Carl Froch, Ricky Hatton, Lennox Lewis and Joe Calzaghe. Mm. They've all been Ring Magazine Fighters of the Year. They've all been on the cover. Carl adorned the cover that year. His brilliant wins to unify at super bantamweight against against Carl Froch, and then to go and beat the brilliant three-weight world champion Scott Quigg, and then to go to America and beat the brilliant three-weight world champion Leo Santa Cruz.
Unbeaten at the time as well.
Unbeaten at the time. The best fight of his career, in my view. The best performance. He boxed when Santa Cruz fought, and he fought when Santa Cruz boxed.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing performance. And for that reason, he became a very special fighter. I think he'll go into the Hall of Fame anyway.
Do you, yeah?
And regardless of... I do. And because of what he did outside the ring as well. As I mentioned earlier, you know, he is in a marriage of a Protestant and a Catholic. He comes from the very working class blue collar Tigers Bay. He's loved and respected there. As I say, I went in 2014, see him win the bantamweight world title, super bantamweight world title against Kiko Martinez, the Spaniard, that night. And it was an amazing atmosphere in September 2014. All people from each sides of the divide, no trouble at all, purely there for Carl Frampton, their man. He's a brilliant analyst on the sport. He always talks sense. And you heard in that speech the deep, deep feelings that he had about what he sacrificed in not seeing his... He's got a wonderful family. He's got a beautiful daughter who is... She's just like... I don't know, she's so clever. She's so bright. She's like Carl. She's like a mini version of Carl. And he gave it all up. And that emotion came out. The emotion for Billy McKee, his late trainer, who was his trainer earlier in his career. He had an extraordinary run and an extraordinary rise. He was a very, very special fighter. And he will be remembered as such. And as I said earlier in the show, the only Irish person to win belts in two weight divisions, along with Steve Collins and Katie Taylor. He belongs in the highest echelon of the sport.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's reeled off some of those wins there, and the Kiko Martinez fight, and it's crazy because you see Kiko Martinez fighting now and giving young up and coming unbeaten fighters problems, and you're talking about Kiko Martinez of 7-8 years ago. I mean, that guy was as tough as nails back then. Scott Quigg, when Manchester was supposed to be full of Mancunians, it was taken over by the Irish. I mean, I remember Barry McGuigan famously saying, we've taken this place over, we've flown them all in from Ireland, and Manchester is now Irish. And then again, going to America, Leo Santa Cruz, even the rematch with Leo Santa Cruz. There should have been a trilogy. There always should have been a trilogy. But obviously, Leo Santa Cruz wanted another direction. What a fantastic career. Quickly, just going back to the fight, Gareth. Look, it was always going to be difficult. Like you said, from the first round, you could see that Jamal Herring looked as sharp as he's ever been, right? I mean, you go back to Jamal Herring against Oquendo, he looked doubly sharp in this one. He really had something to prove, I think, because a lot of people thought maybe he quit against Oquendo. I don't really have that same sentiment, but he looked good. He looked strong. Tail thrown in at the right time for you? I mean, we always talk about trainers throwing the tail in at the right time. Perfect timing for Jamie Moore?
You could see in the body posture when he was hit by that left uppercut, the way his body fell. It was like a stiff banana, wasn't it?
Yeah.
His body was like a stiff banana, and he just fell directly backwards. He was out. He's a game, brave man, a champion's heart. He got to his feet again to fight on, but it was clear that his legs had gone. He already took too many punches, in my view, even after he was knocked down. I thought that was the end, based on their body posture. So the corner throwing the towel in, Jamie Moore, Nigel Travis, they did exactly the right thing, because it's about compassion. It was merciful at that point, and you didn't want to see Carl Froch get damaged. Carl Frampton get damaged. It wasn't
you've
Carl
got,
Froch.
You've got Carl Froch on the mind today. You've got Carl.
I've got Carl
now. What's going on?
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. But the thing is this: the key for Carl Frampton now is, I think, is what he can pass on in the sport, because so many people look up to him. You know, he had hundreds of messages from his fans in tiny print on his shorts as well.
Beautiful.
Messages that people had sent him over the years. And I think, I just don't want to see him disappear entirely from the sport. I want to see him commentate, and I want to see him pass on what he learnt in an extraordinary journey all the way from Tigers Bay to Las Vegas to the Brooklyn, to Brooklyn, to the Barclays Center, to, as you say, to that brilliant performance, the night where he completely bamboozled Scott Quigg, just with his jab for seven rounds, and he took the fight away from the Mancunian. No, it's a brilliant career, and it was a shame to see that he didn't have it on Saturday night. It reminded me of when Ricky Hatton came back against Vyacheslav Senchenko.
Oh, that was very
after
sad.
After he'd been away nearly 3 years, and he was a ghost of himself. Yeah. He was a ghost of himself. And in many ways, Carl was a ghost of himself. What I like is the realisation and the reality and the honesty that he knew it was the end.
I want to quickly have a discussion about the state of sort of British boxing and that next superstar. We are seeing, look, Carl's now retired, and, you know, they look at the likes of Kell Brook and Amir Khan, who, look, they're probably going to have that fight, really. I think it's going to be done now, but they're coming to the end as well. You're seeing some of our unbeaten fighters lose that right, which boxers seem to cherish so much, and I think it's over-cherished, if I'm honest with you. The likes of Josh Warrington losing and Callum Smith losing. Billy Joe Saunders has got a tough fight, right? If he can keep Izzo against Canelo, it's going to be one of the biggest upsets we've seen in recent times. Where is British boxing right now in your mind, Gareth, in terms of the next stars that we're trying to search for?
Well, it's very strong. I mean, we've got some terrific fighters going off to the Olympics this summer in Tokyo. Fraser Clark, I cannot wait to see turn pro as a heavyweight. He's a super heavyweight. You know, there are a lot of great guys coming through that Olympic team. We'll have to see how they go in the Olympics. That's a very much a lower level. Dalton Smith impresses me.
Dennis McCann's one that looks really good.
Dennis McCann looks very good. Look, Daniel Dubois has lost his O, hasn't he? But I'd like to see how Daniel Dubois comes back. Fabio Wardley, another young heavyweight who I like the look of. Conor Benn on Saturday night has got the opportunity to show that he is the real deal at welterweight. He's still got so much learning to do. There's talent everywhere. We are talent rich.
Love it.
In this country. Mm. We do not know who's going to emerge right up there. But the point being, Sonny Edwards has got a world title fight coming up on the 30th of April. I think the key is whether these guys come up and how they apply themselves when they're in the trenches, when they are hurt.
Yeah.
Can they come back from that?
Yeah.
Because we are, like you say, we're saying goodbye to a generation that will include Dillian White in a couple of years and Tyson Fury in a couple of years and Anthony Joshua, Kell Brook and Amir Khan at the end now. So there's a lot of guys on their way out. So, you know, for me, Conor Benn, Dalton Smith, Dennis McCann, these are the guys, Fabio Wardley, and I do think Daniel Dubois still, I do think that there's a massive opportunity for him to grow from his loss against Joe Joyce last year.
Love it. You know, boxing fans are going to love to hear that, because there is this narrative right now that we are really struggling for talent when it comes to boxing on these shores. But hearing that from Gareth A. Davis should give us some hope that there are some superstars. And he just mentioned there sort of the guys in the Olympics. There were a lot of people. Remember, the Olympics was supposed to be last year. There are a lot of those Olympians that would have turned pro right now. So we are almost, in fact, a year behind seeing that talent. So it is coming through. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Remember, if you've missed any of the show or would like to listen again, then you can check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner. Up next, well, got a special one for you coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
And I think lessons were learned in that Sorum back fight, chasing that rear naked choke throughout the whole round.
He sauces it off. Squeeze and it's over! Beautiful. Honey, the Fatty is back! Wow. Absolutely flawless performance from Liverpool's own Paddy Pimblett.
It's Fight Night Extra with myself, Gareth A. Davis, and Adeola Depo. Myself, Adeola Depo, and Gareth A. Davis. I can't wait to talk to this man. You know, to be fair, look, every single person when it comes to mixed martial arts has been talking about this man, this young man, for the best part of, I'm going to say 3-4 years. People have been saying, when's he going to go over to the UFC? It was like, you know, let me take my time here. I want to elevate my game. I want to go when I'm ready to go. That time is now. That man now joins us. It's Paddy, the Baddy Pimblett, who has signed a deal with the UFC. He is going over to that league. Paddy, before we even talk MMA, let's get the most important thing out of the way first. Liverpool tonight, Champions League, Real Madrid. Surely they've got to do it right.
Oh, yeah. We win the Champions League, lad. Never mind just tonight. We slap these up in their own backyard and then beat them at home.
I love
it's gonna be like 2005 all over again, lad. Half a team and we still win.
It feels like it's coming, doesn't it? It feels like we're gonna make top four and then Real Madrid. Everything feels like it's happening for some reason.
It's falling into place, lad. It's just like my career at the minute. Everything's falling into place. It's happening at the right time.
No, it certainly is. And let's talk about that career. Again, look, you heard me on the top there say, you know, everyone's been asking about you making the switch to the UFC for a couple of years. You've always said, look, I'll go when I'm ready to go. You're going now. Why now? Why the jump now?
Because like you say, I've always said I'll go when I'm ready, and now I am. I'm actually ready. Know what I mean? My body is. I've grew up when I got offered the original contract 5 years ago. I was still a child. Yeah. Know what I mean? I was still small. I was still growing into my body. I was still very, very unprofessional. Out partying all the time and doing stuff that I shouldn't do and not listening to my elders and my people who've got me to where I am. So I needed a loss or two, and I needed to realise what I had to lose before I realised the opportunity I had in front of me.
Well, Paddy, it's amazing that you talk about that you kind of, you know, we sometimes talk about it as man strength when you get to your later 20s. It seems incredible that I think were you just 17 when you turned pro? So it's not like you knew anything else in your life at that point.
Yeah, you're right. I turned pro when I was 17 because there was no amateur fights left out there for me. So I went 2-0 at 17 and then won my third fight, and I just turned 18 and got signed to Cage Warriors. So as you say, I've never knew anything else. I've grew up in this sport. Cage Warriors put a post up on Twitter the other day, and it's every one of me weighing pictures, and I was just looking at it like, oh my god, you are a child. Like, I thought I was the best in the world then, lads, know what I mean? I thought I was one of the best in the world then, and I look back at some of them pictures and think, wow, you skinny little man, what are you up to? Because I never even used to do any strength and conditioning or weights or anything like that back then, know what I mean? I was just training me jiu-jitsu, me wrestling, me striking, and little bits of hill sprints and stuff like that. I wasn't really doing S&C like I do now, where I focus on me conditioning and me strength side of things.
The great thing about you, unlike Addy, who has a beautiful, shiny cranium with his handsome face and beard, I like a bit of hair, as you know, Paddy. And the thing is this.
Yeah, right? Of course.
What I like about you is you've got a proper head of hair. Is that going to stay in the UFC and be part of you? Because you're the fifth Beatle, really, aren't you?
Yeah, you know that, the fifth Beatle. I've just been reading something else saying that. I love that shout, the fifth Beatle. And I'm here to take over, just like them Beatles did. Know what I mean? I'm here to take over just like they did. It's going to be Baddy Mania over the next few years. But the hair's got to stay. I'm not cutting this hair. If it comes down to fights where I think it's going to be tight decisions and stuff, then I'll get something like cornrows or something like that. But I'm never going to cut the hair. You've got no chance. Me fiance will probably get rid of me.
Absolutely. No, you keep that hair. Just, you're talking about strength and condition. Final one for me, because Addy is biting at getting in here. I know he's itching. Can you fight in the UFC at lightweight and featherweight?
Yeah. I'm going to get a DEXA scan the next few weeks to see what me body says scientifically, to see if it's healthy to make featherweight. But after me weight cut the last time, I only cut 3 pounds overnight to make lightweight, and I was eating carbs all week as well. So I think personally that I can make featherweight a lot healthier than I was now. Like I said before, I was a lot unprofessional back then. I was going out partying every weekend, and I was eating stuff that I shouldn't have, and I wasn't listening to people around me that I should have listened to, and I was listening to idiots. So now,
come on, give us the diet. Give us the diet of the things you were eating, Paddy. I just want to hear it so that everyone knows what you've been putting down there.
Can I answer? I bet he's going to say, I'm guessing Chinese, a curry. He's got everyone's got
late night everyone kebabs.
Everyone does a kebab. Beer. You've got to do a kebab.
I'm a dessert type of guy, me lad. I can eat like five. I can eat like five big bars of chocolate at once. I was eating like cheesecakes. I had a big Maltese cheesecake. I had 2 bits of cookie dough pie, a big brownie with custard, cookies. You know what I mean? These are just off people off pages on Instagram, lad. They're unbelievable.
These are just starters before the meal. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like, and then that's not even included in my meals, Gareth. That's dessert. Imagine what these meals are like.
No, it is crazy. But look, I mean, like you say, you've now grown into the point where, you know, you understand your body a lot more as well. You know what you can put in it. You know the fuel you need. You mentioned 145 there and 155. I mean, you look at, 155 is a shark infested, like, just water, isn't it? I mean, there's so much talent at 155. 145 is the same as well. I mean, look, Volkanovski versus Ortega, that fight's going to happen again. Well, I say happen again. Obviously, it was cancelled last time, so they're going to get that one on, and then you got Holloway there. I mean, it's not easy either division, is it? But this is the UFC. This is what you want to do, right? You want to fight the best.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. It's no division in the UFC is easy. And as you say, featherweight and lightweight are two of the deepest divisions that you're getting. But I'm looking the McGregor route, to be honest. Beat everyone up at featherweight, win that belt, and then just say, lightweight champ, do you want to defend it or what?
You know what's funny? Sorry, Gareth. I know you want to come in, Gareth, but you had a couple. Let me get one more in there. You know what's funny is that, obviously, look, they've had Darren Till and look, Bisping to an extent. They're going to be so shocked by your mouth and your attitude. I don't think they're going to understand what's going to hit them. Once he gets on the mic, I mean, look, I know you're not this WWE character, but once you get on the mic and sell it, it's going to be unlike anything they've seen, apart from, exactly, obviously, Conor McGregor. I mean, they're going to be shocked by this. I can't wait for it. Sorry, Gareth, I had to just get that one in. I just can't wait to see him. When he has, like, the first head-to-head with someone and starts speaking, they might need subtitles. You know what the Americans are like, any other accent.
They're definitely going to need subtitles. They'll be like, what's he saying? He's talking too quick. What's he on about? What was that? That's what it's going to be like. I know it is, lad. Even when I'm having a back and forth with someone, I just got off the scales. Like, what are you little saying stuff to them? They'll be like, Dana, what has he just said? What has he just said?
It's brilliant, you know, because, you know, everybody knows what a great personality you are. And I say this to a lot of fighters, that take your opportunities on the stage when you're there, Paddy, because it's about winning fights, but it's also, in this day and age, about growing one's brand as well. And I think you're going to be very successful in the UFC because you are so unique. I mean, to rewind this interview back to the beginning, you know, having covered the sport for a long time now, and when other people weren't really interested, I'm kind of one of the older guys covering it now.
I met you 10 years ago at the UFC Fan Expo in London.
Paddy, if you can see the smile 16. On his face right now, it's almost like you give him the verification badge that he loves.
And yeah, I remember it.
I hadn't even fought. I was only 15 or 16, and I've still got it in ours, Gareth. Something signed off, yeah. Great stuff.
Wait, Paddy, you got Gareth to sign you something?
Yeah.
I hope I wasn't walking around drunk throwing head kicks. No, I think I'd been on stage that day with John Jones, actually, at the Expo.
Yeah, you're on.
In Olympia.
I've got a picture with Jones as well.
Yeah, that was the day he got stuck in my car, the poor man, for 3 hours. Because we were all going to the event at the O2 Arena later on, if you recall. Did you go?
Yeah, I went. Lisbon Akiyama.
What does it mean to you? You must be walking around cock-a-hoop now, because it's always been the holy grail for British fighters to get into it. What does it mean? You know, you talk about 10 years ago, going to the Expos, you just started rolling, you knew you could fight, you knew it had it in you. What does it mean, those 10 years, to get that signature, to get that contract?
Well, obviously, it put a smile on my face, know what I mean, but I'll be honest, Gareth, it means nothing yet. Because this is just the start. This is just the beginning. This is where it all gets going. Know what I mean? So I'm not getting too overexcited with myself, because once I get one win and one interview, it's going to blow up even more.
No doubt.
And it'll just continue to snowball from there. I know what's coming, know what I mean? I know it's my destiny. I was meant to put on this earth to fight and entertain people and be the best. And that's what's going to happen.
Very quickly, Paddy, and look, thank you so much for your time. Honestly, really do appreciate it. I wish we could keep going until 5 o'clock, but we can't, unfortunately. I was going to ask you this, though, as we end, Paddy. When is there a fight scheduled? And look, most people, when they make their UFC debuts, I mean, they take someone outside the top 15. I've got this feeling that you want someone in the top 15. Is there a fight scheduled, and do you have someone in mind that you would like to match up with?
No, I'll be honest, I don't have anyone in mind. Even though a few people have called me out on Twitter the past few days and I've had arguments with them. I really don't mind, know what I mean? I don't care who the UFC put in front of me. I'm one of them. If whoever Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard put down and is on a contract in front of me, I will sign it. I won't turn anyone down. I don't care what rank they are, where they're from, who they are, know what I mean? I'm not going to turn anyone down. I'm going to accept every single fight. And whoever it is that's in front of me, they're getting a beat down.
No doubt they will. Gareth wants to ask you a final quick question. Go on, Gareth.
So if you haven't got the fight yet, are you expecting to be in America by, say, midsummer to have a fight over there?
To be honest, I've got no idea just yet. I'm thinking around July, August time. That's when I want to fight, around July, August time. Because then, rumour has it, I've heard that they're coming back to London in October, November. So it'd work out perfect for me to get both of them cards, then come out unscathed in London and go and beat someone up in December in America.
You know what the dream is? You know what the dream is? As I let you go, Anfield, isn't it? 55,000, 60,000, yeah. Anfield walking out. You'll never walk
That
alone.
Will go off.
It
and that will
off,
sell
indeed.
Out. That will be packed to the rafters.
Oh, that I know indeed. Paddy the Baddy, my man, thank you so much for coming on. Really do appreciate it.
Mate.
Good luck in your UFC debut. Surprise them, shock them. Let them know that Liverpool has arrived. All right, remember, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. We continue the MMA conversation next. It was signed this week. McGregor, Poirier, free.
I believe the very first exchange, he will be hurt, and he will be hurt badly. He won't know. He won't have felt that power before. He won't have felt that smoothness before, that clinical precision before. I don't miss.
That's the real deal, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. For real.
I wanted to hurt the guy. Not even seeing the footage, I can remember what that felt like. I don't even have to see the footage. I can think about it and remember my attitude towards the whole situation. I felt like I was fighting everybody. I felt like the UFC was against me. But this is a business, and I understand everything just a little bit better now. It's a little bit more clarity, and I care less.
This year, peace is kissing the pot.
This is Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. You just heard there the commentary of their last fight. Remember, this is fight number three coming up, but their last fight between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. I love their commentary. I love Daniel Cormier on commentary because he just screams. Like, he doesn't say anything. It's just screaming. It says, oh my, that's all he does. John Anik obviously gives a bit more than that. But look, fantastic commentary duo, those two. Let's talk about this one, Gareth. We always kind of knew it was going to happen, especially when Khabib announced his retirement. And he kind of thought, okay, what was next for Dustin Poirier? Was it going to be a title fight against Chandler or Oliveira, or did he want the money fight? And this is, look, Conor still is that, the money fight against Conor McGregor. He says, well, give me Conor again. I mean, this is the guy I knocked out in two. I'll take that fight and we get it again. Surprisingly, Conor's opened up as favourite. I don't know if you look into that kind of stuff or not, but Conor is favourite for this one. What do you make of that? Conor being favourite in this one.
Well, I mean, if you look at the first fight, he whipped his backside in Las Vegas. I was there that night. You look at the second fight and he was beating Dustin in that first round, really beating him up, and Dustin came through the trenches and did a brilliant job in the second round. Look, this is all about, if Conor McGregor loses on July the 10th, it's kind of curtains, really.
It's already
the giant McGregor era is over, let's be honest, okay?
It is.
But every time, you know, every time he comes back and he wins a fight, then something comes back. If he creates some magic, like he did against Donald Cerrone, 1 minute of magic, it sent Las Vegas wild. But the good thing about July the 10th is it'll be in front of a big crowd. And I don't think McGregor responds well to no crowd. And I think we'll see a different McGregor. And I think that's what's fascinating about it. Look, as is Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal too, as well, that's going on. As is Leon Edwards facing Nate Diaz. But as also, I've got to mention another featherweight and a lightweight champion, the champ, Patricio Pitbull, who did a brilliant number last Friday night at Bellator 255 as they returned on Emmanuel Sanchez, and now fights AJ McKee.
By the way,
now,
AJ,
I don't
McKee,
know if you know AJ McKee.
I do. AJ McKee looks massive. I sometimes wonder how they make weight class. I don't know how he balls himself into it.
He's 23 years old. That's how he does it.
He's not
he's
got,
23
he's
years
not got
old.
The timber like me.
No, he's one. We all thicken up. We know that. When AJ McKee and Patricio Pitbull meet later in the year, that's a fantastic fight of featherweight. One of the rising stars, say, in the under-25 group in MMA. Maybe the best under-25 in MMA. So we've got to give Bellator a shout out there. But look, it's always great when Conor McGregor comes to town.
You know,
always a lot of fun.
You know what made me really sad? You're right, when you said the Conor McGregor, that era of just, oh, it was so special, is over.
Well, the people growing beards and people wearing three-piece suits.
They all do it now, don't they?
Wanting to cut their hair like him. Yeah. I mean, Conor McGregor is just a prototype for the 30-year-old hipster, basically, isn't he?
You know? No.
But that's what he is.
You know? And I'm going to miss it when it is over. But with UFC or with MMA, unlike boxing, which is a very, very good thing, a loss doesn't mean the end, right? There are still matchups out there. Like Nate Diaz 3 will always sell, right? Between those two, they've got that spark. Just before we go, I want to talk to you about the Bellator tournament that's live on BBC this week. I know you're doing fantastic work on it as well. The light heavyweight tournament, when they put that, the light heavyweight look together, everyone was literally salivating about the names on there and the fights that we're going to see. We see another one, a rematch from 2012, I think it was, Ryan Bader versus Lyoto Machida. Lyoto, that was when he was the dragon of all dragons and knocked Bader out. They go again. How do you see this one playing out, 9 years later?
Well, it's just whether the dragon can breathe fire again in the cage.
That was good.
Or will Bader avenge defeat all those years ago when he felt his lights go out in Los Angeles, Eddie? You know, he ran onto a stiff right hand, basically. He bull rushed onto a stiff right hand. Bader's become a champ since then and has matured in Bellator. You know, Darth will be the favourite. But the dragon Machida, he's 43 next month.
Yeah.
But there's still something special about him. But in that tournament, you've got Yoel Romero against Anthony Johnson.
Anthony Johnson versus Yoel Romero is crazy at light heavyweight. Like, just scary.
Yeah, Corey Anderson's there, you know, against Yagshimuradov.
Yeah.
Dovetchan Yagshimuradov of Turkmenistan. I know you've never heard of him before.
Never in my life.
No, but he's but Corey Anderson for me could be the dark horse of the tournament. Mm. A lot of these are UFC signings.
Phil you Davis know, is in there as well.
Phil Davis is in there, fighting a rematch with Vadim Nemkov, who's now the champion. So, you know, Phil Davison, he had a great three-round fight a couple of years back. Really, really close fight. So that's coming up. You know, it's a great time in all these sports at the moment. You know, we are thick and fast. We've mentioned probably 20 fights that are coming up on today's hour. That means a fight every 3 minutes. And I'm going to say sayonara, my friend, till next Monday.
Sayonara indeed. That's it for this week. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. We'll be live again next Monday on TalkSport 2. And if you miss us, make sure to subscribe to Fight Night Podcast to catch up with all our other episodes.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.